The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. There is no greater community builder than adoption. Welcome to Your Adoption Coach with host Kelly Ellison. If you are starting an adoption or just thinking about it, or maybe someone you know is going through an adoption and you want to help, please stay tuned over the next hour as we will educate and inspire you with some real stories and information about resources that can help. Now, here is your host, Kelly Ellison.
And welcome. We're so glad that you're joining us today. You're listening to Your Adoption Coach Radio. I'm Kelly Ellison. Every week, we share a different part of an adoption story. This is all about inspiring and educating you all about adoption. We know that many of you think about adoption, and it might be a path for you, or if you know someone who's considering adoption, we'd love it if you'd share our show with them. And if you'd like to send us a suggestion, we always love getting information and suggestions from our listeners. You can always send me an email at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com or check out our archives. You know, we are now on adoption.net. We have over 150 shows that keep you up to date on every topic you can think of related to adoption. So do keep listening. Thanks so much for listening. And we have so much more coming and to share. Last week, we had such an interesting conversation. I really hope that you, if you missed this show, I just want to encourage you to go and check out this show. Susan Stockham and her son, Derek Riggins, joined us to talk a little bit about this whole concept of older adoptions beyond 14, or excuse me, 18. And, you know, we spend a lot of time on this show talking about, we've had Rita Sorenen from the Dave Thomas Foundation. We've had a number of different guests talking about foster care, talking about aging out. Over 18,000 youth every year age out of foster care. But then kind of that's where the story has ended for us. And I was so happy to have this conversation about older adoptions. And Susan and Derek's story relates to Derek being 25 years old. Derek aged out of foster care and was 25 years old when he met Susan. And Susan adopted him. And then he became a part of their family. And so it's a touching, touching story and interview with Susan and Derek. And if you missed the show, please do check it out on our archives. Yeah, I know that you will be inspired by what Susan and Derek have to say. So you can check that out on adoption.net. That's adoption.net, where you can find many other shows on other topics related to adoption. So today, I'm really thrilled. I feel like I have a somewhat of a celebrity on my show today. It's very exciting. whenever we have well-known folks, it's exciting for me. Carrie Goldman, the award-winning author of Bullied, What Every Parent, Teacher, and Kid Needs to Know About Ending the Cycle of Fear. That was published by HarperCollins in August of 2012. Bullied has received a National Parenting Publication Award and a Mom's Choice Award, both at the gold medal level for excellence in educational skills and tools. Carrie's written for the New York Times, CNN, Psychology Today, Huffington Post, Adoption.net, our own adoption.net, Babbel, Alternet, and more. And she's also made appearances on NPR, BBC, MSNBC, and CNN Headline News, Fox, HNL, HuffPost Live, and Mondays with Marlo, and countless other media outlets. All you need to do is just Google Carrie Goldman, and all this stuff will come up. I had so much fun reading articles and information about you, Carrie. Thank you so much for being with us today on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure. I love adoption.net.
Yes, and it's so fun. I had a lot of fun going back and reading some of your articles that we're going to talk about today. And in addition to your expertise around bullying dynamics, you also write for a lot of adoption blogs, and one of them is The Portrait of an Adoption, which has followers in more than 45 countries. 8,000, I saw that Facebook page, 8,000 followers on the Facebook page Portrait of an Adoption, and 45 countries. I want to get into that later because I think that is just fascinating. I think that project is just fascinating.
But it's been really fascinating, yes.
Yes, I bet it has been. And we'll spend some time on the show today letting our readers know about that. But the first thing that I want to do is I want to talk about your family. How are your daughters doing? Now, you have three daughters, right?
That's correct. We have three daughters. Our oldest daughter is 11. We adopted her out of foster care when she was a baby. And we have two younger daughters who are biologically ours. They are 8 and 4. So we have a nice spread of little girls in the house.
You do, and you are busy.
We're very busy. We are definitely busy.
Yes. So you've got, you have your daughters and you, I know that you spend a lot of time with them, and I know that a lot of the work, it seems like a lot of the writing that you do, Carrie, is really informed by kind of what's going on with them, right? Is this how you started writing?
There's always something going on with them. And, my writing has changed as my kids grow older because I'm encountering a wider breadth of issues. And particularly my adoption writing is more interesting because when my daughter was 2 or 3 and I wrote about adoption, she didn't really have a voice about adoption yet. She was too young at that point to put words to any thoughts or feelings she might have had, or even much to comprehend it. But as she's grown older, our conversations become richer, and partly I protect her privacy by protecting our conversations, but I do tend to write about the general issues that come up, and they're far more interesting and intense as she enters the teens.
Yes, and we're going to talk a little bit about that today, especially a couple of the articles that you've written. You're Not My Real Mom, Surviving 15 Years with Your Adopted Daughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy, I read that one, and I was just kind of like, yeah. My daughter is 8. And so we're right on the back end of where you have already been. And so I'm sure that a lot of folks are in that particular situation. But I want to go back because your book, Bullied, What Every Parent, Teacher, and Kid Knows, needs to know about ending the cycle of fear. What prompted you to write that book about bullying? And I have to just say here, we have a little bit of a connected past. Prior to doing this, I was a conflict mediator and used to teach conflict mediation and peace education in elementary schools. So I was really, really intrigued by your book. What prompted you to do a book about bullying?
Oh, well, first of all, I'm so glad to hear that you do conflict mediation. I think starting in the lower grades is really important. And we do restorative justice in our local elementary school starting in kindergarten. So it actually is rooted back, of course, to an experience, a personal experience. When my oldest daughter was in first grade, she was experiencing taunting and ostracism and exclusion based on the fact that she was a female Star Wars fan. So at a time developmentally when all the other 6 and 7 year old girls were playing with Barbies and, electing dress up, my little girl was carrying a Star Wars backpack and, wanted to do this and that. And the boys were uncomfortable with it and told her, you can't play with us. You're not allowed to like Star Wars. She felt uncomfortable. She wanted to stop carrying her Star Wars water bottle and change who she was. And I started doing research into, the effects of social ostracism, taunts, exclusion. And the more research I did, the more I learned. And I started writing about it. And the writings were incredibly well received. And so I basically took like a couple year sabbatical where I did nothing but research and write, and I interviewed psychologists, social studies people, bullies, victims, principals, school teachers, parents, celebrities, all to get an idea of the different faces of what goes into aggression and exclusion. And it also was interesting to write it from the point of being an adoptive parent, because whereas some kids might have said, oh, who cares, when being taunted, a child who has already experienced the sting of feeling othered is possibly more sensitive. And so my daughter has already had to deal with feeling different. Even by the age of 6 or 7, she looks different from us because she's adopted. She wore a patch for amblyopia. So for her, it was just one more thing when she was told you can't like Star Wars that pushed her over the edge. So I wanted to also write about the concept of being at higher risk for the negative effects of bullying. And a lot of adoptees are at higher risk because they already feel different.
Well, and there's also this whole multicultural families. We have a multicultural family. Maya, is Chinese.
And your daughter.
So, you know, this comment that you just used, it's new to me, feeling othered.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very interesting comment. Can you expand on that, feeling othered? I think that's very interesting.
Yes, and feeling othered is a very widespread phenomenon that adoptees experience, where even if you're the same race and the same appearance as your adoptive family, adoptive children often feel othered, where they sense that in some way they don't quite belong in the fold. They feel different. And the word that is used by so many of them is, I feel like an other. And so it's almost become this verb that's used in the adoption community about how your whole life you feel othered. And what's the most interesting about this is 20, 30 years ago, psychologists told adoptive parents, you know, don't emphasize their differences. Don't acknowledge them. If your child says, I feel different, you know, to say, we're all the same, we're one big family. We are now learning that adopted children, that does them a disservice, because then there's like a dismissal of that feeling that they're having. And so if we only tell them, you're the same, you're just like the rest of the family, then they don't know what to do with that feeling, and they think it's wrong, so they hide it, and it comes out in other ways. What's actually healthier, according to more recent studies, is to say, you're right. You know, you are different. This is what makes you different. And I'm sure you feel different and sometimes feel like another. But this is also how we're the same, and this is how we're a family. So it's more important to acknowledge that sense of being othered and try and welcome a child into the family at the same time.
That is, I could spend an entire show talking to you about that particular topic, I have to tell you, Carrie, because
and
we just have about 30 seconds left, so we're going to have to take a break. But what I do want to come back and talk about is I have always understood, I think you're right, I know you're right, in terms of this feeling of othered and how we need to allow that to happen and allow that to be. But then another part of the conversation that I have always understood, be it wrong or right, is that adoption, that act of adoption, you know, that you are adopted, needs to be tempered, that there are lots of children that are adopted, and that we are one of the many adoptive families, and that there are many ways to put a family together. So I'm interested about the differences between that. I'd like to get your perspective a little bit about that when we come back. So we do have to take a break.
Sure.
I'm Kelly Ellison, your adoption coach, Radio, and I'm here today visiting with Carrie Goldman, and I do hope you'll stay with us. We'll be right back.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-800-273-8255. 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I'm joined today with Carrie Goldman, who is a writer, a blogger, Huffington Post, Adoption.net. She's been made numerous appearances on NPR, BBC, at MSNBC, and CNN Live, talking about bullying, but also really her expertise in not only bullying dynamics, but writing about adoption. And so we're today visiting with Carrie about all of her articles and work related to adoption. Before we left on the last segment, Carrie, you were talking about this whole issue of feeling othered. That's a whole new term for me. I talk to a lot of people about adoption every week. I've never heard that term before. So I could.
I'm so glad. I'm glad.
Yeah. Thank you.
New.
helping us to kind of further our education about it. But my point before we left the show is, you know, this whole idea of being adopted. I have always been told that's just, don't make a big deal out of that. And, you know, one of the things that I share many times with our listeners, my daughter goes to a Montessori school. One of the reasons that we go to a Montessori school in the urban core is because there are probably 10 or 11 adoptive families in that school. And, you know, from African American to Indian families to Chinese family, I mean, you name it, there's so many different families. And I love that whole melting pot. So we try to not make a big deal out of the fact that she's adopted. But then this other feeling othered, you don't want to ignore that. Can you share your perspective on that?
Sure. It is a fine and tricky balance that is always evolving. I think that you can de-stress the adopted while not underemphasizing and validating the feelings of being othered. So, like with my girls, I have three girls, one who was adopted and two who were not. You know, when I introduce them, except for in the purposes of this radio interview, it's not like I go around and say, you know, this is my adopted daughter and these are my biological daughters. These are my three daughters. So I think what we can stress is there are all different ways to make a family. And one of the things we have to be cognizant of, especially in this day and age, not just adoption, but, you know, there's surrogacy and there's egg donor and sperm donor. And so, you know, families are simply made in all different ways and we come together. And so while I don't try and stress too much to my daughter, you know, well, you're adopted and that's why this is happening, or you're adopted and that's who you are, what I will say is you're a little different from us in some ways, so that I validate when she feels different. So you might say to her, to a child who's a transracial adoptee, you know, we're one family, we're all a family, but within our family, you have some differences that we want you to know that sometimes those are going to feel like strengths to you, and sometimes they're going to make you feel othered. And so it's less about adoption and more about the internal person and who he or she is. So it's hard to have both, but you don't want to overemphasize adopted because you don't want someone to feel like they don't belong in the family.
Right, right. Yeah, it's such a tricky balance. And as I was reading some of your other articles, one of them, You're Not My Real Mom, Surviving the Teen Years with Your Adopted Daughter. What I really loved about what you talked about in that article was that sometimes it's just about emotions and adolescence. Right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
Sometimes it's just because you're 12 or you're, you know, it's just because
right.
you're
My
in
daughter's
adolescence.
Almost 12. Yeah. And, you know, she's acts like any almost 12-year-old. The risk for adoptive parents is you don't want to over-ascribe behaviors simply to someone being adopted. So if my kid doesn't want to do her homework and I'm telling her you have to do it and she gets mad, one of her go-to lines is going to be, well, you're not my real mom, so you can't make me do it. She has learned that that can be a go-to because she knows she's adopted. I don't give that too much weight or credence when she throws that out there. I know that what's really speaking is the 12-year-old who doesn't want to do her homework. And it doesn't have to be a great big deal about her feeling like she is or isn't part of the family. So when I get that line, I usually say what you are really probably feeling is mad about the homework. But if you were living with your birth mom, she would probably make you do your homework too. Want to call her?
That's right.
Let's pick up
the phone
and call her. You know, so I try and take it away and make it about adoption when it really is, but don't make it about adoption when it's not.
Right. And I have to say this to you. You're Not My Real Mom. When I read the title of that article, and I read that article, my daughter is 8. She has not said this to us yet. She has not said this to us. I am terrified of the day that she's going to say that to me.
Well, it's interesting.
I know it's going to come. I know it's going to come. But I'm terrified of that day.
The funny thing about it is I think I was so waiting for it that when the first time my daughter threw that out there, it was almost like a sigh of relief. Okay, we've reached it. Here it is. I knew it was coming.
We're finally there.
There it is. You know, it's like, all right, excellent. We've crossed that, you know, that point. And it was also very easy for me not to get upset, but to respond to her from a place of validation. So the very first time she ever said to me, "You're not my real mom," I said, "It's so interesting, isn't it, honey? You have two moms. You do have a mom who is your mom first, and you have me. And I'm very real, and I am your mom. So I am your real mom,
but
I'm not your only mom." And that was how I responded.
Right. And thank you for that. We're all writing that down right now.
I was like, I'm real. I'm your mom. I'm just not your only
mom.
And I wasn't the first mom.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but I'm definitely real. I'm standing here.
I have to share with you that my daughter, she's 8, as I've said, and a couple of evenings ago, she spent the evening sitting at the kitchen table and she was creating something. And I kept asking her, what are you doing? You know, nothing. Don't bother me. The next thing I knew, she was asking me for tape.
Mm-hmm.
And she began to, she posted these two signs on her door that said, do not disturb, stay out, knock first or else. It was, they were the cute, I have to say, they were the cutest signs I think I've ever seen. These big faces with the, you know, eyebrows and this, and, you know, she was actually expressing her need for some privacy. You know, she wanted some privacy.
And
but
she should have that.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said she should have that.
She should. She should, yes.
Normal
I thought, oh, that's normal. Yeah.
Right.
But there's always this lens, I think. And you brought this up. You brought this up even in your, you know, in your article about You're Not My Real Mom. There's this lens about, okay, now what part of this is about the fact that she's, you know, really seeking privacy and wanting to create this independence for herself and the fact that she's adopted. And so, you know, it's how much does adoption contribute to that? And it's a good part of really trusting your own intuition, I would think, right?
It is. And one of the things that's been super helpful for my daughter, and so maybe if any listeners have this with their sons or daughters, as my daughter entered the tween years and this concept of privacy came up, one of the things I told her is there are going to be times when you feel really, really mad, either at me because I'm, you know, your kids get mad at their mom or at someone. And I said, I want you to be able to have a place where you can say anything, where you could say, you know, mommy is a stupid jerk or whatever, or much worse words as they get older. So I got her a journal and I said, look, here's the deal. You can write anything and you can feel anything, but you can't do or say anything to other people when you're mad or hurt. So I said, if you're really mad at me and, you know, you really want to get it out, you can write in your journal, God, I wish I didn't live with this family right now. They make me crazy. I can't stand them. You know, I'm like, get it out. But you can't come and hit us or behave badly. You know, so it's like part of that privacy is giving a child a safe place to validate and then acknowledge their feelings.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And I agree with that so much. And acknowledging her feelings is, you know, kind of half the battle. I mean, I think that that's so, so important. You know, you wrote another article that I thought was really interesting for Huffington Post. What I know about motherhood now that I'm an adoptive mother. Now, I have to tell you, that really, really resonated with me. I hope you'll tell a little bit about that to our listeners about that particular article. I thought it was really good.
Sure. A HuffPost approached me to write that. It's one part of a series they did for Mother's Day where they wanted people to say what I know about motherhood and from different points. So for a friend who's lost a daughter to cancer, it was what I know about motherhood now that I'm a grieving mother. For someone who is a divorced mom, it was what I know now that I'm a divorced mother. So they approached me and asked, would you write about it from the point of view of an adoptive mother? And I kind of went through some of the lessons that I've learned. One of them, I'll give you just like the highlight, I guess. One is that people spend an enormous amount of time commenting on how children resemble their parents.
Oh, that's
and it's just, I wasn't as aware of it at all until I became an adoptive mother and had a child who doesn't look like me. But everywhere you go, in the grocery store, you know, at schools, when you meet people, when you meet people for the first time and you are together as a family, there is so much discussion on who looks like whom. And so as an adoptive parent, that was an interesting area to navigate. A second thing that I wrote about was that until I became an adoptive mother, and particularly one with a very widely followed blog, I did not understand or appreciate how much of an anti-adoption sentiment there is from some people. And I had to understand the roots of that and grow in my understanding of it, but also take steps to protect our family because we do have a good, ethical, wonderful, healthy, open adoption from any online hatred. Although there is no doubt adoption has a lot of flaws as an institution, and I have come to appreciate the criticisms of the industry. What I don't like are attacks on personal people. My feeling is attack the industry, not individuals. So that was something I learned as an adoptive parent. And then another thing I learned as an adoptive parent was just like how it's truly having adopted children and biological children, I've come to really understand I don't have that fear of do you love the biological child more because I get to see it from both sides. I have biological children and I have adopted children. Mm-hmm. And so when people who are looking to adopt say to me, I'm afraid that I wouldn't love the child the same, I say, well, I've lived it now for almost 12 years, and I can tell you I spend just as much time you know, with the one that was adopted as I do with the one that weren't.
Great stuff. So, again, we need to take a break, but I am with Carrie Goldman. Many wonderful articles about adoption, and you can find information about Carrie on her website. I hope this is correct, Carrie. CarrieGoldmanAuthor.com, is that correct?
That's correct. You got it.
Carrie Goldman, GOLDMAN, author.com is her website. You can check out some of her stuff. You can also go to adoption.net, and you can search Carrie Goldman and many of her articles will come up. So you're listening to Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio. We will be back for more. Do stay with us.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach at youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I want to do a call out to our sponsor, European Adoption Consultants. EACI is celebrating over 22 years assisting families in completing international adoptions. EACI is an international child placing agency. They are Hague accredited, China licensed, and approved to complete adoptions in many countries around the world for people living in the United States. EACI is also doing several hosting programs. One hosting program, they are currently accepting applications for host families for children from Colombia. This is a wonderful program. If you would like more information, if you're interested in this extraordinary opportunity, you can contact them at EACI. That's EACI.com. So we are back. I'm so happy to have Carrie Goldman, author, speaker, blogger. You can find Carrie's articles on our own adoption.net, also on Huffington Post. Again, her website is CarrieGoldmanAuthor.com. It's CarrieGoldmanAuthor.com. Such a fun conversation about just really developmentally. It's kind of like, at least for me, and I'm sure that there are thousands of other folks out there like me who are, you know, you're in a particular place, aren't you, in the development of your life with your child. And so, you know, my daughter is 8, your daughter is 11. So it's kind of like we're clinging on to.
Mm-hmm.
What has she learned? You know, what are you learning? There's such a relevance here for the path and where you're going. I'm just curious, before we get into, I want to talk a little bit about your body of work, Portrait of an Adoption. But before we do that, how do you decide what you're going to write about as it relates to adoption? Is it, you know, we talked a little bit about this, but is it kind of what's going on in your own household? How do you make a decision about that versus kind of current events and current things that are going on? Because it seems all to be so relevant, Carrie.
It's all so relevant. Initially, when I first started my blog, and this was, you know, years ago now, I was really writing it for myself and like my mom and my sisters. And because we all live far apart from each other, and it was informed by our experiences raising our daughter. But what happened was, thousands and thousands of people started following it, people I don't know, and people who would contact me and share, you know, their own stories and started asking if I knew about this or that or this or that. And so I started a project that I run each November. It's called, my blog has always been called Portrait of an Adoption, but the project is also called Portrait of an Adoption, 30 Adoption Portraits in 30 Days. And I invited people to submit stories, and I would go through them and pick 30 different pieces to share, one each day in November, because November is National Adoption Awareness Month.
Yes.
So I wanted to honor. Now, the most fascinating thing that happened is the very first year I did it, probably 25 of the 30 pieces were by adoptive parents, because that was who was, you know, following me. But at this point, I have so many thousands of people who are adoptees or birth parents or foster parents or just other people in the triad. So now when I do my 30 days, I really try and share an extremely wide variety of perspectives. I'll share pieces from people who are anti-adoption. I'll share pieces from adoptees in closed adoptions, open adoptions, good reunions, bad reunions, you know, birth mothers who have never found peace again, birth mothers who are living happily as, you know, as they've moved on. It's a whole big picture. And so that has shaped the portraits of an adoption. But then when I decide what to write about when it's my own writing the rest of the year, so for November I share, you know, 30 pieces that aren't mine. The rest of the year I write about adoption, but I do have other issues that are really important to me, and I put them on Portrait of an Adoption as well. Like, my bullying work has led me to do a lot of work around equality and discrimination. Because I have three daughters, I do tend to write a lot of work on, you know, girl parenting, girl empowerment. So Portrait of an Adoption is 11 months of the year. It's Portrait of an Adoption and Other Things. And November, it's Portrait of an Adoption Alone. And during November, you know, there's hundreds of thousands of hits on the series. So it's really neat to be able to expose people to a perspective they've never, ever considered.
It is fascinating that, first of all, you were able to just kind of start this process and all of a sudden it just exploded. That is, to me, a very fascinating aspect of social media and the internet, and really how it changes the landscape of things. Really, I mean, yes, adoption.
It does. I mean, it changed what I write about and who I write for.
Right. And I've talked many times, have had Adam Pertman on the show, have had couple of other folks on the show talking about how the internet has changed adoption. And this body of work, Carrie, is so important in my view, because it really is such a multicultural tapestry, don't you find? I mean,
funnily enough, I had Adam Pertman write one of my portraits of an adoption.
You?
Yeah.
Okay. And I think that it's really interesting. I am amazed at how you even, hundreds of thousands, how do you make a decision about 30? I mean, that seems like that's a full-time job to try and figure out in
it
November how you're
going
to make
consuming.
A decision.
It does. One of the things that's the hardest is I still would say that the majority of the submissions do come from adoptive parents. And because I now know that I want to share voices of other people, I find that they're often pieces from adoptive parents that are wonderful pieces that I just can't put in the series. And I feel, you know, bad about that. But I often offer people the opportunity to just be a regular guest post on my page, you know, not during the series, but another time. But what I look for are stories that are just widely different. So I don't want to share 30 versions of the same open adoption
or 30
versions of the same adoptee who, you know, struggles. So I try and just look at everything that comes in and then pick what I think represents the widest range of experiences out there.
And so do you find, as you look at this each year, I'm just curious about, do you find any kind of trending going on? I mean, I think there's some research and knowledge that we can gain from this. From your perspective, do you find that that's happening? You know, you said, well,
I do.
Yeah.
I do. One of the things that I have become increasingly aware of is that information is everything to an adoptee. And, you know, whether it's a 60-year-old man who's writing in who has spent 30 years trying to find someone, or whether it's a 15-year-old girl writing in who's in an open adoption, what I'm hearing over and over and over from the adoptees is that they want to know everything, the good and the bad. They want to know their story. They want to know who they are, where they're from, you know, everything. And that adoptive parents who try to protect children from pain by not disclosing things, it comes back in the end in a negative way. So one of the hardest roads to navigate, and we have to do this with our own daughter, is many adoptions, just by their nature, involve bringing a child into your house who does have something unpleasant that has happened before they got to you. And the hardest part is, how in an age-appropriate way do you disclose this information? And, you know, what's the safest way to do it, where you don't suddenly have someone at age 30 say, why was my whole past kept from me? Because that's not healthy either.
So
hearing from people is showing me that the importance of honesty above everything.
Yes, yes. And I hear that over and over again, and I try and put that in a place for myself and my own experience and understand how important that is. I also can tell you that just like "you're not my real mom" scares me to death.
No, it's scary.
What also scares me to death is when you take an international situation where you have an abandonment issue, where you have, you know, as in many, many children in international adoption, you have an abandonment issue, and how you deliver and at what point developmentally you deliver that information. And it's a huge responsibility. I can tell you that personally, that's a huge responsibility, and trying to discern when that is appropriate. You know, that's like the number one, I think many people would echo that. That's like the number one big scary
It's the number one big scary for me too, because, you know, we haven't had a chance. We've, over the years, given my daughter bits and pieces of information about why was she in foster care, why were the other kids in foster care in her family, you know.
Right.
But you also have to respect the age they're at. One of the pieces of advice I have in that is, approach it from a place of great empathy, so that the discussion isn't, you know, you were abandoned and someone didn't care about you, but it's, we don't know what was going on in their life, but chances are they wanted you and loved you, and they were facing extreme hardships. And,
right.
You know, so if we start the discussion from a place of empathy, where we get around to the fact, ultimately, yes, the child, you know, may have been abandoned, but we can help frame the story from a point of view that doesn't feel quite so rejecting. And we can frame the story from a point of view of how hard and painful this must have been for your mother, who couldn't keep you because her life circumstances probably didn't allow for it. And I think even changing the discussion like that helps the child reframe their own story.
Very good. Very good advice, Carrie. Appreciate that so much. And tell me, we've got about 30 seconds here, but how does a person contribute to the work? So if they're on Portrait of an Adoption, how do they do that?
Sure. So submissions have to be at least 1,000 words, because people really like to read what your life experience is. I don't accept things that have already been published on blogs, only because it helps me weed down the number of submissions. So it has to be an original piece. So I know that's a lot to ask, 1,000 words, original piece. And you email it to portraitofanadoption@gmail.com.
Okay. Okay. That's portraitofanadoption@gmail.com if you are interested in contributing to this amazing body of work that Carrie is doing, portraitofanadoption@gmail.com if you'd like to share your adoption story to have it be considered to be a part of this body of work. Also, Carrie's website is carriegoldmanauthor.com, and so you can find out more information about her articles, her blogging, and her projects on that website. We are going to be right back with our final segment with Carrie, so I do hope you'll stay with us.
Considering international adoption but don't know where to begin or which agency to select? Let EAC, a nonprofit Hague-accredited agency, guide you on your adoption journey. EAC will walk with you through the country selection and paperwork processes. EAC separates itself from other agencies by providing world-class in-country staff who will allow you to focus on your adoption journey. EAC has been assisting families and children for over 20 years. Let EAC's experience work for you. EAC is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 1-866-586-5656 or visit www.eaci.com.
Do you dream of adopting a newborn but don't know where to begin? Are you facing an unplanned pregnancy and want to learn about adoption as an option? Adoption Network Law Center can help. Adoption Network Law Center is a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. Our entire staff is dedicated to helping guide everyone in the adoption triad through the process with integrity and complete support. Call us to learn more at 877-292-4188. 877-292-4188. Adoption Network Law Center, helping build families one miracle at a time.
America's Christian Credit Union believes every child deserves a forever family. Our adoption loan program has helped over 500 children find a loving home. We understand the adoption process and will work with you to find the financial solution that will be best for your family. Find out about our adoption loans on our website at www.americaschristiancu.com. Or you can call us at 1-800-343-6328. Once again, that's 1-800-343-6328 for an adoption loan with America's Christian Credit Union on approved credit and rates subject to change without notice, federally insured by the NCUA.
You are listening to Your Adoption Coach with Kelly Ellison. Please send questions or comments about the show to coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Now, back to the show.
And we are back. Thanks so much for staying with us. I'm Kelly Ellison, your Adoption Coach Radio, here today with Carrie Goldman, who is talking with us about her wonderful articles and her work. Before we get into the last segment, I want to do a call out for our sponsor, Adoption Network Law Center, a California law corporation providing quality adoption services to adopting parents and birth mothers. You need to check it out this coming weekend on Saturday, May 9th. They're going to be holding their Birth Mother's Day celebration. The celebration will be at their headquarters in Lake Forest from 12 to 3 o'clock. It's open to all birth mothers. Birth Mother's Day is recognized annually on the Saturday before Mother's Day. It's for women who've placed. This day can be so difficult, such a difficult time that reminds them of the baby that they gave birth to but are not mothering. Adoption Network Law Center honors these courageous women who choose to give their children life and provide them with a family through adoption. For more information, you can reach them at adoptionnetwork.com. That's adoptionnetwork.com. So back again with Carrie. Love understanding this body of work that you're doing, Portrait of an Adoption. And again, we just made the announcement that if you are interested, it's 1,000 words. It has to be original work. If you're interested in sending her information or article about your story to share, you can send it to portraitofanadoption@gmail.com. That's portraitofanadoption@gmail.com. So I'm curious, Carrie, do you have a favorite story that you'd like to share with us? I'm sure.
I
don't know how you do that, but I'm sure you've got some.
I have one that sticks with me. It kind of shows you the power of the internet, I guess. for one of my earlier seasons, a series, you know, maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago, a birth mother submitted a piece. She was in her 30s, and she wrote about how when she was a teenager, a younger teenager, she had become pregnant, had hidden it from her family through the entire pregnancy, placed the baby in secret, and never told anyone, never told her parents, never told anyone.
Oh,
and for 15 years had been living with fear and shame and all these emotions. And she wrote the piece as an anonymous birth mother. And I put it up, and I added on my Portrait of an Adoption Facebook page, this birth mother is one of the readers of the page. If anyone has a supportive comment, please put it in here so she can read it. The comments that came in, including from other birth mothers, were unbelievably supportive. So supportive that the birth mother who was the writer decided for the first time in 15 years to tell her family about what had happened.
Oh my gosh. She
told her family, so she's now in her 30s, and wrote me back to tell me that, you know, she was met with nothing but love and support and empathy, and how it, after 15 years, this burden had been lifted. Then we became friends, she and I, you know, through Facebook, and she would write to me on and off about how she was doing and expressed how she wanted to reach out to reunite and find her daughter, but she was too frightened. And again, I asked for the community who had gone through search and reunion to offer some thoughts and offer some support. Everyone was, you know, very, very encouraging. So she reached out, she found her daughter, and this year, for this year's Portrait of an Adoption, both she and then her daughter, who's now an 18-year-old who was adopted by a family that, you know, treasured her, they each wrote their own perspectives piece. So we have come full circle and heard from both of them a couple years later. And it's just, you know, it's just one of my favorite things that could have ever happened.
That is fascinating. It is fascinating. What a wonderful, you're right, the power of the internet, isn't it?
Right.
I mean, just all of this. So I have to, you know, obviously it begs a question. This is just an outgrowth of a book, isn't it? I mean, isn't there some, is that your plan, or do you have something else that you're cooking on here?
Yes. So one of the things we noticed is there are tons of books out there for parents to read to their adoptees. You know, we wanted you, we loved you. Books for international adoption, domestic, everything. And there are lots of stories for, you know, older kids that happen to feature a kid who has lost his or her parents, like the Harry Potter series. What we realized, there was a gaping loss in books for kids age, you know, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, where it's early chapter readers, adoption books, but not stories. So, you know, we've got picture books for the little ones, and we've got plenty of books that deal with it for young adults or adults. And so my co-author and I have started writing a series that is specifically for early chapter readers. It features an adoptee, and it's going to feature different adoptees she meets so that we can get in stories and perspectives. So we're trying to put in some portraits of an adoption that are readable by kids, that help them feel like they identify with their experience in a story so they don't feel
alone. Oh, I love that.
And I'm very excited about it. The first book, Jazzy's Quest, Adopted and Amazing, will be coming out in the summer. So
I'm
really excited to have that next natural outgrowth. You know, we're doing the portraits for adults to read, but it's time to have stories for kids.
Oh, I really love that. So it's Jazzy's Quest, Adopted and Amazing. I love the
title. Yeah, Jazzy's Quest is the series. And book one is Jazzy's Quest, Adopted and Amazing.
Okay, great, great. And it's coming out this summer. So will it be available on Carrie Goldman, author? Where's it
going? Yeah, or, you know, Amazon. I'll link to it on my account. You know, everywhere. Just Google it. You'll find it.
Okay. Okay, that's a wonderful. That's wonderful. And you also do speaking. So you do speaking about adoption throughout the country. You're available for that?
I do. You know, I do kind of everything: speaking, lectures, workshops, the whole the whole nine yards.
Yes, yes, it's wonderful. It's just such a great opportunity to be with you and have you with us today on the show, and loved all of the body of information. If you want to pick up an archive of this particular show, you can hear it again on adoption.net, obviously. You can also find out more information about Carrie at carriegoldmanauthor.com. And again, a call out for a portrait of an adoption if you would like to submit. It's 1,000 words, original work, and you can do that at portraitofanadoption@gmail.com. So thank you, Carrie, so much for being with us today. What a great show. If you like the show, if you have a suggestion or a story that you'd like to share with us, you can reach me at coach@youradoptioncoachradio.com. Don't forget that you can check us out at adoption.net. You can also check out some of the articles that Carrie has written on adoption.net. And thanks again for joining us. Hope you'll tune in again next week, same place, same time. In the meantime, have a great week.
We hope today's program gave you some inspiration as well as information about adoption. Please tune in next Saturday at 12 noon Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time for another edition of Your Adoption Coach on the Voice America Variety Channel. Thank you again for listening. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.